And we're back with G. Edward Griffin, Tom Lacavera-Stewart, and Laurie Anderson.
Illegal, but they got their buddies in Congress passing laws to make it legal. They steal from their depositors, and the bank pays the fines. Those people that engineered it don't go to prison. Doesn't come out of their pocket. They get bonuses and promotions. And all of this is not capitalism, so quit calling it crony capitalism. Call it crony collectivism.
Yeah, I completely and totally agree with you. This is something that I hear more of the left always attacking. Capitalism, look at what capitalism is doing. I say, oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, don't even go there.
Yeah.
That's like calling people who are like-minded like us. I can't even really define myself, but maybe, you know, the way Ron Paul defined himself, a paleo-conservative. I have conservative values, but I've divorced myself of the parties because I know how infected they are. But a true freedom-loving patriot would not support any of this, the central planning big government Republicans. I call them progressive Republicans or neoconservatives, which with the neoconservatives were born out of, they were born out of Trotskyism, which, what is it? Collectivism?
It's again. Another variant of collectivism. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Communitarians. I mean, they have different flavors, I've noticed, and the flavors within them, and I have to stop doing this. I think that I'm going to move more to what you've been advocating, is to call it what it is collectivism. But there's different variations on a theme. There seem to be two really dangerous ones, in my opinion, which is communitarianism and Fabian socialism, for a couple different reasons I hold that view. But still, all still forms of collectivism, just like Marxism, Leninism, all of these things. You know, a lot of people thought that Hitler was far right. They call people on the right Nazi. If you call me a Nazi, you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. That was collectivism too.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, if you take off the label of Nazism or fascism, take off the label of communism, and just look at the principles, which we do a lot at Freedom Force International and Red Pill University, we compare principles. If you didn't see the swastika on the arm or the hammer and sickle on the flag, and you just talked to these people, you wouldn't know one from the other. And as a matter of fact, it's true that many people move from one party to the other, back and forth, with complete comfort. They just to change allegiance to a leader. They decide that they didn't want to support Stalin, so they'll defect and support Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they have to change, because everything else is the same.
Absolutely right. So, unfortunately, my co-host, Laurie Anderson, wanted to get a chance to talk to you. She, when we started doing the interview, for some reason, she got dropped off the call. Would you mind if we took a short break and I bring her back on, because she wanted so badly to talk to you, and I don't want to disappoint her?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay, hang on one second. I'll have to just restart, that's all. Hang on.
Okay.
If it hangs up on you, I'll call you right back.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Technical difficulties be ironed out. Isn't this been a wonderful and interesting interview tonight? It was really enjoyable being able
certainly.
To meet to Mr. Griffin. He
yeah.
really, and definitely make sure you go to redpilluniversity.org. Check out what they have on the site. They have some powerhouses that are joining together in order to be able to fight for truth and to be able to wake you up to swallow that red pill if you're ready. Just
well,
remember.
I'll tell you what, you know, Mr. Griffin was a big part of my red pill awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been putting out this material for decades, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we owe him a large debt of gratitude. I remember, I must have watched that presentation he did with that former KGB agent, got 100 times. And if you listen very carefully and you just look around, after you watch it, just look around at everything, you can see the effect this has had on our own people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Crazy.
It is. And we are ready to play part two. So if you would, Mike, play part two. Thank you.
G. Edward Griffin.
Okay. We're back on the line after a minor technical glitch with G. Edward Griffin and your host, Tom Lackabarra-Stewart, Resurrect the Republic Radio and the Republic Broadcasting Network. And you had mentioned the 14th Amendment, the general welfare, and you want to take it from there?
I think the general question is very, very important, and that is that why are we doing all this? What do we believe? What are our principles? Is it just because we don't like what's happening to us? Do we have a better plan? Do we know what we'd like to replace the present system with? Can we do better than the present? And if so, what's our blueprint? What are our principles? Most people never think about principles. We go through one political system after the other. Take American politics, for example. It's not much different than politics in any other country. People don't vote for candidates anymore. They vote against candidates. They say, oh, I hate both of those guys, but I hate this one worse, and so therefore I'm voting for the other one. We'll vote for the lesser of two evils. That's totally principleless. Nobody has principles in this kind of an environment. They think, well, it's all about who is the good guy and who's the bad guy. We want a man on a white horse. We want a dictator. We want our dictator who will take the bad guys and throw them all in prison. Don't give them any trials or anything. Just throw them in prison. Get rid of them because they're the bad guys. The heck, what's this constitutional stuff for? Let's get rid of evil. Let's just do it. You know, it's that kind of mentality. And you look at history, and you see it's replete with people rising up at great cost and treasure and blood to overthrow one tyranny, only to find out that they replaced it with another one exactly the same or even worse. And that's because they're so focused on what they hate, what they don't like, what they want to get rid of. And they have no idea of how to build a better system. They think that the evil comes from the character of the people. And, well, of course, it does. But that's just the beginning. They think that that dictator is a bad person. Now, if we could just get rid of him and put in another dictator who's a good person, who has the right principles, we don't care if he's a dictator. As long as he's got the right principles, then that's good. You see? And so,
Yeah.
And that's what people want. They want a good dictator because they don't understand that if you have a system that supports the dictatorship, there's no such thing as a good person in there for very long. A good person is going to be corrupted by that kind of temptation. Or if he's not corrupted, eventually he'll be replaced by someone who is corruptible, or he'll be killed. You've got to look at the system, not just the people. And so when we start looking at the system, we have to ask questions, well, what system do we want? And what's wrong with the system that's giving us all these problems? And therefore, you've got to come down to principles. Now, we had to face that when we created Freedom Force International and to some degree with Red Pill University, because people are going to say, what's your mission statement? What do you believe in? So we have eight principles. We don't have time here on the radio to talk about them all in length, but I'll just read the headings to you. The first one is the intrinsic nature of rights. That has to do, where do rights come from? Do they come from the state, or do they come with the individual? Are they God-given? Are we born with them, or does the state give them to us? It's very important.
No. They're inherent. They are inherent.
They're inherent, yeah. It's hardware, not software.
Right.
Rights are not added to you. They come with you. I mean, that's what the individualist believes. The collectivist says, no, the state gives them to you.
Well, so it says it right in the beginning, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are.
Yeah.
See, this is what a lot of people they misunderstand with that portion right there. And I'm glad you're reading these, because it's important to understand that these rights being inherent were only a few of the ones that the framers thought would come most under fire and therefore set a deliberate and complete restriction on. But more importantly than that were the rights that existed outside of the Constitution, wasn't even within the purview of the government to entertain. And this is what a lot of people don't understand about the document. You know, sometimes it's just understanding something a little bit better, and when you see that inherent right. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're not digressing at all. That's right to the heart of this first principle, because it says, you know, these are certain inalienable rights. Well, there it is. They come with the individual. And it said, and it went further and said, it's the function of the proper state to protect those rights. That's the function of the state, to protect those rights, not to grant them. And
right.
And you say it's right there in the Constitution, okay? And it's also printed somewhere in. You go to the United Nations bookstore and you order a book called The Draft Covenant on Human Rights. Now you're going to find the other point of view. The United Nations lists all these rights, but it says it is the function of the state to grant those rights to individuals.
Ah.
There you have it. See, that's the difference between individualism and collectivism. The United States Constitution was based on the principle of individualism, and the United Nations and all the countries of the world are based on the principle of collectivism, that the state grants you your rights, and therefore the corollary to that is that if the state can give you your rights, they can also take them away.
Sure.
You got a real problem there.
Sure, but who created the government? We did.
Well, they don't believe that. They think that the state has its own inherent rights and that the people must serve the state. They don't, they don't see that the government was created by the people. They say that the people were born to serve the state.
You know? Well, I just wish all these people that believe this way, if they believe this way, if they really want to live and stand by those beliefs, then I would be more than happy. I will purchase, and if everybody out there will purchase 4 tickets for people to go to North Korea, let's send them to what they're really asking for.
Yes, but, you know, we do know that that's not what they're asking for. I can tell you exactly what they will say. They will say, oh, well, that's a bad example, because the people in charge there are bad people. Now, if they just had good people,
I'll revise my statement to say, okay, I'll buy 4 tickets to go to any of these places out there, just not here.
Well, unfortunately, that's the way the United States is now.
I know.
United States does not follow that principle in the Declaration of Independence. It now has become collectivist. People in America think that their rights come from the state. They really believe that, and they think it's okay.
Yeah, and if you don't think that way, they think you're mentally ill, but go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just number one. Now, number two is the supremacy of the individual, and this is one of the core principles. You know, collectivists believe that the group is more important than the individual, and that the individual must be sacrificed if necessary for the greater good of the greater number.
Huh, didn't Spock used to say the good of the many outweigh the good of the few or the one? And I always said, you know, I remember being a little kid hearing Spock say that and turning to my dad and saying, but what if the many are a whole bunch of bad men and the one is a really good man? I said that as a kid.
Well, good for you. Most kids don't have the ability to think that all the way through. And what if the many were good people but making a terrible error? What if they made a mistake? They're good people.
Right.
But
right.
What if they're fooled by a demagogue?
Right. Good point.
Yeah. The majority is a horrible thing. When you get down to this, and I said we weren't going to go into this deeply, but now I'm tempted. You see, when you look at this thing, the group. Okay, the group is supreme over the individual. What is the group? It doesn't even exist. There's no such thing as a group.
It's just a thought.
You can't touch it. You know, what do you do with a group? It's a concept. It's an abstraction in the mind. It's a mathematical concept like the number 4. What is 4? It's an abstraction. It doesn't exist. It's like the word forest. Forest doesn't exist. Trees exist, but not forest. It's an abstraction of many trees. And the same thing with group. Only individuals are real. The individual is the basis of the group. The group is an extension of individuals. And so the basis of any social issue that we want to discuss starts with the individual. And that's why individualism and collectivism are at opposite ends of the pole. You take a lynch mob. Now, a lynch mob, what is that? There's only one dissenting vote, and he's at the end of the rope.
Yeah.
If you really believe that, you know, the individual must be sacrificed for the greater good of the greater number, then lynch mobs are just fine. They fit that principle very well, thank you. And so this causes you to go back and challenge, causes you to go back and take the red pill about everything we've been taught about democracy. And all of a sudden, then we begin to understand why the founding fathers said a democracy was one of the worst possible forms of government. They said so in plain English.
Yeah.
Because they knew that a democracy would allow the majority to trample on the rights of the minority if it didn't have restrictions and restraints. And that's what the amendments to the Constitution are all about, the restrictions against the majority. You know?
Yeah, sure are.
Yeah. Congress shall pass no law against the right of free speech or assembly or religion or the right to bear arms. Congress shall pass no, in other words, the majority shall pass no law to restrict an individual's right to free speech. One man against the whole 300 million. One man's rights will out-trump 300 million people.
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be, the rule of law, not the
rule of the will. The rule of law is to protect the individual, not the group. So anyway, that's what supremacy of individual is all about. It's much deeper than that. Then we get to this issue of freedom of choice. That's item number three. And here again, the collectivists believe that something is correct or worthwhile to do or the right thing to do, by golly, let's have a law and force everybody to do it. If it's a good thing to, if it's a good thing to wear seat belts, then let's have a law and put you in prison if you don't wear your seat belt. That's the collectivist mindset. Individual says, yeah, seat belts are a good idea. But, hey, we're not going to put anybody in prison for not doing what we think they should do.
Or take their money.
Freedom of choice. Yeah.
You know, what it really comes down to in a big way is dollar and cents. My father was a judge. I'll never forget a phone call he got from a mayor in one of the municipalities that he was a judge in. And this mayor wanted him to start laying down heavier on people and finding more people guilty to increase the coffers of the and my father went conniption. People use that word. I don't think that I ever saw my father have a conniption until that phone call.
I'm not sure what a conniption is either, but I know I don't want to see it.
Yeah. Well, he's just at the top of his head after that phone conversation. I put my hand on the top of his head. His head was literally hot.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I said I wouldn't talk a lot about these, but here we go. So let's just move through the list. Number four is property rights are human rights. And that's based on the principle that collectivists will not acknowledge that property is a human right. They think property is a bad thing, that humans should not own anything. And it's because they don't understand what the meaning of ownership means. They just don't understand also that if you don't have property, then you cannot sustain yourself. You must be dependent upon those who control the property. That means the state. If you don't have a place to live that's yours, you don't have food that's yours, you don't have the right to land and raise your food if you want to, if you don't have a right to money, money is property. We're coming to the state in the world where the collectivists say, no, you shouldn't even have money. We'll give you units. We'll give them cryptocurrency units or something, and we'll tell you how many of those you get and so forth. Anyway, human rights are property rights, and that's a very important thing. I wish we could talk about that one. And then money without coercion, that's my field. What kind of money should we have? Well, let's let the public decide. What kind of money do you want? I think there should be many options for money. It's not up to me to decide. I like gold and silver myself. If I were a dictator,
I'd say
it's going to
be gold and
silver.
And we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month, and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back, and we are back with G. Edward Griffin.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of money should we have? Well, let's let the public decide. What kind of money do you want? I think there should be many options for money. It's not up to me to decide. I like gold and silver myself. If I were a dictator, I'd say it's going to be gold and silver, period, or something like that. But thank God, I don't believe in dictatorships, even for myself, because who knows, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. And I think people should have a choice. If they want to use money, if they want to use gold and silver as money, then fine. If they want to use fiat money, a Federal Reserve note, let the idiots do that if they want to. If they want to use Bitcoin, fine. If they want to use blue chip stamps, fine. If they want to use Disneyland tickets and exchange it, fine. Let them do it.
Well, you know, that's a good point. Anything with tangible value that can be usable by the two consenting trading individuals or bodies, yeah. You know, it's voluntarism, really, is what you're talking about. And if you have something that I want and I have something that you want, it's a voluntary exchange. Now, personally, I think that if that were the case and we could choose, I think that metals would be certainly more valuable than paper. But then again, there we go with the Constitution again, that goes back to, you know, Congress has the right to coin the nation's currency. They never had the right to. First of all, and I know that we're getting a little bit off track, but I want to mention this. In the 14th Amendment, in Section 4, creating an unquestionable public debt by confusing, by hiding it within insurrection, but it applied to everybody equally. The public debt is unquestionable. It cannot be questioned, regardless of whether it's for insurrection or not. I declare anybody to, or I challenge anybody to read Section 4 like a lawyer and not just like a layperson. You know, take out, realize that between two commas, when it says the public debt is unquestionable, comma, forget about the end for, it's unquestionable. Then you take that and put it in the hands of these fiat currency banking cartel of the Federal Reserve, and that was the beginning, in my opinion, of the end. That never could have happened if we were trading in coin like our founders had said from the beginning. That would not have been able to happen that way.
Right. That's right. So hidden in your remark there is a very, very important fact, and that is that you can write these principles out in plain English, but if nobody reads them...
Well, yeah, that's a good point.
If nobody reads them, well, then...
Well, we're trying.
We're trying, yeah.
We're trying.
I'm back to my latest, not latest, but my big issue about having a constitution written with two columns, so that the left column is what you read first, which is the why you're making these provisions. I think it'd be very, very helpful. Anyway, equality, yeah, under law is number six. And that's, I'll just read that. It's short because it's a deep thought. I believe that all citizens should be equal under law, regardless of their national origin, race, religion, gender, education, economic status, lifestyle, or political opinion.
Sure.
Likewise, no class should be given preferential treatment, regardless of the merit or popularity of its cause. To favor one class over another is not equality under law. Well, everybody says, yeah, I agree with that, and yet look at the laws that are on the books today. I'm going to guess that 97% of them do not treat classes equally under the law.
No,
97% of our laws violate that principle, and everybody says they're for it.
Right. I noticed that. You know, I used to think, and I believe in everybody should be treated equal. There's one problem that I have with the vote, though. It's not about men, women, it's not about color, it's not about anything else, but, you know, it used to be back in the day that voters were property holders, and there was a reason for that at the time. I don't know if we could, I don't believe in classes or anything else, I believe more that, like you do, but there was a reason for that back in its time, and that's because somebody had a vested interest in the outcome of what was going on, and they also understood that in democracies, if you use, say, the Cloward-Piven strategy by mass immigration overwhelming the system, you know, essentially by promising a whole bunch of people who'd have nothing or have very little in other countries that come here, we'll take care of you, we'll pay for, well, you're also purchasing a vote. And these people come flooding into the country, and before too long, your country is overwhelmed by a artificial creation or really a corrupt creation of people that you massively fled into the country to try and like, this is what the Democrats have been doing. So I'm conflicted, and I'd like to say conflicted because I don't like to exclude people from a vote. There's issues with that. However, I understand the premise by which it used to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. It's a very important issue. It's not part of our creed of freedom, but it needs to be understood. And I think the basis of that dilemma is the relationship between responsibility and authority. If you give somebody the authority in a realm of activity, they should also be responsible for the outcome.
Yes.
If you give people the vote, that's authority. But we don't give the voter the responsibility of paying for what he's voting for.
Absolutely. And on that, we'll be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My ears, not a word I heard could I play. Story was quite clear.
Whoa. Welcome back, everyone, and we are back with G. Edward Griffin.
So there's a disconnect. We give authority without responsibility. If we tied the two together and said,
good point.
Your vote is in direct proportion to the degree to which you pay for the manifestation of that vote, then there'd be a lot of fewer people that want to vote.
Good point.
You know, it gets deeper than that, but that's, you come to that layer that with the first spade. That's the first shovel of dirt that you come to, is this connection between responsibility and authority.
Sure.
And that's what you were talking about in the beginning of our republic. The ones who were paying the taxes and making everything work were the landholders. Those were the taxes.
Yeah.
And if you didn't pay, as Hillary would say, you got to pay to play.
Yeah, well, you have a vested interest in the outcome, and you're not empowering others to rob and redistribute other people's wealth.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem that I have. Like, you know, you look at, and I point to the inner cities. Look at what Democrat rule by this methodology has done for the, you know, the cities where I come from, like Camden, New Jersey, and Philadelphia, and of course Chicago and Detroit. I think that we have little microcosms there, little experiments that have, for the past 40 or 50 years, has been steadily Democrat ruled. And look at the conditions of these cities now. Is this really something we want to keep replicating?
Well, we don't want to, but our rulers do, because that they know that those people are easily managed. They're totally dependent on the state. They will do whatever they're told to do in order to get their welfare checks, their
Obamaphone.
Obamaphones, yeah. So, yeah, they want that. They do want that. And then we come to this equality under law issue. You know, if you think about that, if we had a constitution that required that all classes of people be treated equally, and this was understood and agreed upon, and it was enforced, then, get ready for this, it makes no difference who votes, because they wouldn't have the ability to vote somebody else's money into their pocket, because that would violate the principle of equality under law.
Good point. But, you know, that could have been accomplished. You know, a lot of people, again, I know that keeps going back to the 14th Amendment, but a lot of people don't understand equal protection under the law. It really, the 14th Amendment didn't give equal protection to all individuals. It was meant to give certain protections for newly freed slaves. You and I and many other people weren't meant to be 14th Amendment U.S. citizens. It's just something that was created by the collectivists at the time. The 14th Amendment, some refer to it as the Red Amendment, because it basically introduced collectivism or communism into the United States by a fiat unconstitutional law that was never lawfully ratified. So I think that we really went wrong. We went wrong in immediately following the Civil War, especially. But some could argue before. But I like to not get into the politics of the Civil War as much, and say that all it would have taken was, imagine an amendment that just said everybody's equal, without four sections and unquestionable debt and all of the other. That went into it. It was obviously a direct and it was part of an agenda.
It was, yeah. It's one of those things where it was written to sound one way and be administered in an entirely different way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, of course, if the rest of these provisions in the Creed of Freedom were really explained in a constitution and everybody believed in them and said yes, yes, well, then the 14th Amendment would have been kicked out and laughed at.
Yeah, well, it's funny you should say that, because once people started waking up to what the 14th Amendment really was, we have from the Oregon House here rescinding it based upon usurpation and fraud. It states before it was ever ordered by Executive Order 6 and 7 to be booked and published by the Secretary of State at the time, it was rejected by several, not just the southern states. It was rejected by many northern states, including New Jersey, where Representative Stockton, Sir Senator Stockton, went to the House floor and he said that the integrity of the United States Senate has been molested. Andrew Johnson gave two separate veto addresses. In one, he said, if this is allowed to move forward, it'll make the law itself unlawful and it'll create a de facto government. Now, I have one question to ask everybody out there who knows about the 14th Amendment. If the president, the sitting president at the time, was giving veto addresses on an amendment, how did Executive Order 6 and 7 get passed that made it lawful and ratified?
And that's passivity and ignorance on the part of the watchdogs. There are no watchdogs anymore.
Woof.
Yeah. Nobody stood up and said, oh, no, you can't do that. They remained silent. You know, on that issue of whether or not the 14th Amendment was properly ratified, I agree. The evidence looks to me as though it was not. But in the long run, it makes little difference, because if it were to be put up today for ratification, it would be ratified.
Well, I can't really disagree with you about that, but what it requires to be able to pass a constitutional amendment, it makes it a prohibitive process. So I don't know that we could, I don't know if we could today with today's political climate even go there. But you know, that's a good point, though. I mean,
it's a talking point or thinking point, because most people in the state legislatures that I get the impression that they would think the 14th Amendment should be passed, because nobody would want to stand up and say, I'm against the 14th Amendment, because they say, well, the voters are too damn ignorant. They'd think that I didn't want the slaves to become citizens or something.
Well, that would be a very simple thing to remedy by saying, slavery is unlawful, and all individuals, regardless, and you don't even need to go further than regardless, all individuals are free and equal, period.
Well, that should be understood in any constitution.
How easy is that?
Yeah.
You would need one sentence. You wouldn't need four sections.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Okay, well, anyway, I have to move along. And number seven, we're coming toward the end of this railroad track here. Number seven is a point that I added a couple of years ago. We started off with a couple of numbers fewer than this, and seven was one that I most recently added. I really think it's the last one to be added. And it's the great leader. And I wanted to do this originally, and I thought, well, why bring that up? Until I saw the Trump administration and how people were clamoring for a great leader again.
Yeah.
So I added it. This was several years ago. And so I'll just read it. It's short. I believe that leadership is a natural outgrowth of human dynamics and is essential for social order and large-scale tasks. However, there are two types of leadership. One is based on coercion and decree, found in military organizations and totalitarian political systems. The other is based on persuasion and good example, found in voluntary organizations and free political systems. We must evaluate leaders not only on their stated goals, but on what type of leadership they offer. Their goals may be admirable, but how they pursue those goals may be tyranny. All modern totalitarian systems have a great leader, that's in quotes, who claims to represent the best interests of the people, but who is, in reality, merely a dictator. Truly great political leaders do not follow that path. Nope, that's it. But there it is.
I can't disagree with anything I heard.
As long as people want a great leader, they're going to have a great leader, which means a dictator. And then finally, this is perhaps the most important one of all. It's a catch-all. It's number eight. It's proper role of the state. I realized when I was putting this together in the beginning that there is always some gray areas, you know, where it's hard to say yay or nay on an issue because of the details, the circumstances. And so I thought, we need a gray area. I mean, we need something to catch this gray area. So here it is, the proper role of the state. I believe that the purpose of the state is negative, not positive. Defensive, not aggressive. It is to protect, not to provide. For if the state is granted the power to provide for some, it also must be able to take from others. And that always leads to legalized plunder and loss of freedom. If the state is powerful enough to give us everything we want, it also will be powerful enough to take from us everything we have. Therefore, the proper function of the state is to protect the lives, liberty, and property of its citizens, nothing more. That state,
hear, hear.
That state is best which governs least.
Wow. Yeah. That's some powerful stuff.
If we just followed that all by itself, it would probably take care of 85 to 90% of our problems.
It does certainly sound that way. What a wonderful vision.
And I really appreciate the question of what about the creative freedom, which is an integral part of the freedom force. So yeah. If anybody's interested in the, I guess I'll call it a white paper or an essay, that provides the historical support for these principles and the logical arguments also, I urge you to come to the Freedom Force website, which is freedomforceinternational.org. And there's an essay there. You'll find it under Issues, I believe, and certainly it's referenced at the bottom of the creed. It's called The Chasm, which is that great divide that separates collectivism from individualism.
And well, I'll be placing all of the links within.
Right.
All of our postings, we're going to take all of the links and everybody listening can just very quickly just look below and click right on. And the wonderful day and age of media, we can do that quite easily.
Yeah. It is wonderful. So,
yes, sir.
Anyway, that's about all I have to say on how we're going to save the world.
Well, I thank you for joining us, and it's been an honor and a privilege.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm delighted to talk to you and meet you, even if it's only by phone.
Well, folks, that was a pre-recorded interview from earlier today. We couldn't have Ed on this late. He had some appointments to do, so we had to pre-record it. And it was, what a wonderful conversation with a wonderful man. I like the concept of Red Pill University because he's bringing so many different minds together. Mike Adams and Stefan Molyneux, and just so many different people who are voluntarists. Some are little anarcho-capitalists, some are libertarian, but I haven't seen any neocons or any Marxists in his sphere of influence, so... But anyway, we're also going to be taking the full stream and putting it up on YouTube. A piece got cut out when we had a technical difficulty just a little while ago, about halfway into it. So we've already loaded it. I'll be processing it tonight, and I'll get it out to you guys on YouTube and in the Spreaker podcast with the full interview with the unedited, unclipped out portion. Might take a day or two. You guys know where I am. And, you know, I had mentioned that to Ed. You know, I told him where I was and why. And I asked him, I said, you know, it wouldn't bother you. I want to be honest with you about where I am and what's going on. And he said, absolutely not. He's what a nice man. Absolutely nice man. So, Lori, you had some stuff for us?
Oh, yes. Well, I want to agree. Mr. Griffin is definitely a wonderful individual to speak with. It's a joy to interview, and hope we can have him back often.
I talked to him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's happy to do it. And I set the next one up, so... The plan is for you to interview him when this Red Pill thing gets launched.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice. It's something to look forward to. It's just, I mean, this guy's really a mentor to me. I mean, my God, for decades I've been watching this guy's material. I've read the book years ago, of course. That primed me for my support of Ron Paul.
And anybody out there who's listening to us right now, if you have not read that book, you can also find his speech on the title is, what is the title?
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
The Creature from Jekyll Island. I apologize, everyone. Okay. I just went blank there for a moment. But tomorrow, I do want to let y'all know, tomorrow I'm going to be covering something that you haven't heard in any of the fake news outlets or actually any of the alternative news that I know of. I may be incorrect, but I don't believe I am. Department of Defense was covering December 13th, 2017. The cyber and the U.S. commanders must embrace cyber, special ops chief says. And, of course, this was last month, and we haven't been able to get to this yet. But it interlinks, of course, with what I have pounded and pounded about mastering the human domain, about the cyber warfare end of it, about the seventh warfighting function. And I'm going to be covering that tomorrow night, as well as letting you hear from the Army Special Operations Commander, because I have a clip to share with you about what they have to say about it as well. So I think that's going to be interesting. I also want to let listeners know, if you're not aware, there was a released FISA document that shows the NSA violations of law inquiries of U.S. persons. Now I want to make something clear. This is a 99-page document. This is not the four-page FISA document that everyone is saying release the memo. So still call Congress, still raise Cain for them to release that memo. This is a FISA document that was filed on April of 2017. You can find that information at freedomoutpost.com. It was posted by Tim Brown, January 23rd, 2018, of course. And the title of the article is Released FISA Document Shows NSA Violations of Law Inquiries of U.S. Persons. So I only have a few minutes, so I'm going to cover just a little bit of this to give you a feel of what this says.
And hold on a second, folks. You do know we are in need of new equipment, and I have to put this out there. You can go to PayPal.me/RTR Truth Media, as well supporting those who support us, Pruitt's Tree Resin. Just Google Pruitt's, P-R-U-I-T-T, Pruitt's Tree Resin, MiracleSalve.com. Those are folks that have gone above and beyond the call for us while I was in Club Fed. So I'd appreciate if you would please kindly stand by them. But you know, folks, I haven't really pushed that very hard. We really need your donations now. It's we're getting down to the wire, and we want to bring you a good broadcast. And it's difficult to do from here with the equipment that we have. So we could certainly use that support. And there's one other thing. Please, nobody share the meme going around about Hillary and Bill Clinton's housekeeper that was unearthed on their estate. Snopes has about 100 fake sites, and they put out conservative-looking news so that they can turn around and debunk it. That's my opinion. It's just way too convenient that Snopes, within hours of these things flying around the internet, can debunk them so quickly. I believe that, you know, my personal opinion is they're putting this stuff out so that they can debunk it themselves. Go ahead, Lori.
Well, there you go, right back to that psychological operation that we were talking about through mastering the human domain, right? And we will definitely be covering a lot of that tomorrow once again. So I wanted to let you know, Tim Brown did report, and I'm going to read from his article. It says, frankly, even from what we have heard coming from congressmen regarding a four-page FISA memo concerning the enormous abuse of power from the Obama administration against the then-candidate Donald Trump, seems like child's play after combing through some of this. The document below seems to indicate that the NSA violated the Fourth Amendment and several other statutes in their claims to be engaged in queries of national security. Reporter Pete Santilli began reading through the document today, and I listened and read along. I point to Pete as the fact of the matter is that Pete forged a lot of the legal aspects and evidence that was used in the Bundy trials. He was the one putting things together, and he was the one who pointed out the presence of Pantlar, or Panter, and their holding tank of information that was used against him and other defendants in the Oregon Malheur Wildlife Refuge protest. This is one of the things I want to point out before I continue reading this. This is why we need to really press and pressure to get this memo released. Why? The same players that were involved with the Uranium One, the same players that were involved with the Lavoie-Fennecombe assassination, the same players who were involved with Malheur, the same players who were involved with the Bundy situation. All of these same players are expected to be exposed in this four-page memo. That is how important this is. We need to put a lot of pressure on Congress, call day and night, call the White House as well. Absolutely. Because no one can sit there and say that the president couldn't order that to be released and it could be released. Yes, it could. So I continue with the article. What Pete discovered in the reading of the document is that while everyone is right in a tizzy over the release the memo agenda, the reality is that this is far bigger than Donald Trump. It extends to every single American alive and those being born today. The live presentation occurred on Facebook. Understand this is not, and I repeat, not the memo that is currently spoken about. Nevertheless, it does involve some unconstitutional and unlawful spying by the deep state. Over and over in this document, the government appealed to the courts to give them access to information in the name of national security. However, the court was not satisfied that the government had sufficiently ascertained the scope of the compliance problems or developed and implemented adequate solutions for them and communicated a number of questions and concerns to the government. Understand that the desire to collect information was specifically to target, quote, non-United States persons reasonably believed outside the United States to acquire foreign intelligence information, page 6, unquote. However, part of the NSA's upstream, and this is, quote, upstream collection of the acquisition of multiple communications transactions, or MCTs, unquote, also included persons inside the United States, as stated on page 16 and 17. One thing that should be noted, though, about this is that the court had already determined in 2011 that the NSA's minimalization procedures when it came to actually collecting U.S. persons' information, quote, statutorily and constitutionally deficient. And on that note, thank you for joining us this evening. We really do appreciate it. As always, everyone, watch your backs, check your facts. Have Semper Fidelis and have a wonderful and blessed evening.
God bless.